Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Coming up, we are going to be speaking to Gedalia Bloom, and we're going to get the latest information from him. Obviously, this morning, it is a bit tenuous whomever we speak to, just because we don't know if there's going to be a siren, if they are going to be busy with family or just making sure that they are safe. The area, the Middle East, of course, on edge this morning following the reports of Iranian ballistic missile attacks. I believe there was from one from the Houthis as well. Gedalia Bloom is on the line to help us understand the latest developments. He chats to us this morning. Gedalia, good morning.
Good morning.
Deja vu all over again.
Yeah, I was actually hoping that I'd call in and you could help explain to me what's going on, because I don't think anybody knows what's going on right now.
Yeah, you know, and that is the nature of this entire Iranian part of the war. Other parts, we could speak to people like yourselves, and you'd be able to guide us, because you're living this every day. You understand it. You're connected with, but this Iranian, series is very, very confusing, and nobody seems to be able to figure it out. Why do you think that is?
I mean, there's so many different moving parts. I mean, number one, you have the Iranian regime who has no intent of signing any agreement. They've already made it clear they're putting the agreement on the shelf, and they've been negotiating, as we spoke about in the past, an MOU, and they're not even able to come to any terms for the MOU. Trump is trying to hold out. He's got midterm elections. He's got political pressure, domestic issues that are going on. On the other hand, he also has a legacy. He's in his second term. He's almost turning 80, and he wants to be remembered like Ronald Reagan was remembered. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to Israel, Israel, of course, is not going to allow, our policy changed follow October 7th. We're no longer in containment mode anymore. We understand what that really means. When there's quiet, it just means that they're rebuilding. So we're going after it. So we're going to strike Beirut. We're going to strike wherever Hezbollah is. And we're not going to allow even our greatest ally, the United States, under Trump, to really dictate how Israel protects itself, especially when we're faced with elections in September, October. So you have to understand also that Bibi Netanyahu, if he was going to listen to Trump, who said, Trump publicly made statements, whether he was saying this as part of some sort of misdirection, to Iran, we still don't know if these are psyops, but he came out and said that Bibi will listen to me and I will dictate what's going on. If that was in fact true, and Bibi did actually listen to Trump, he would see his poll numbers fall to the ground, because there's really overall there is full support in Israel to finally end this war, not by through negotiation and not through diplomacy, but through actual war. And I think that we're really coming to a point, especially after October 7th, is that the Israeli public really wants to see a decisive victory, the first time that there's ever been a decisive victory since the end of World War II.
Yeah, it's and again, you mentioned psyops. It's very hard to know what is real and what is not real, especially on the Iranian side, because Israel attacking Hezbollah following Hezbollah's attacks in Israel, obviously, has never really been something that Iran has acted on. All of a sudden now, there's a red line in Hezbollah. What does that mean? Does that mean that they were simply looking for an excuse to walk away from the negotiating table? Or does that mean that Israel was having too much success and they needed to do something dramatic to shift the focus?
So, I mean, I'll start with this. I'll start with by saying that I believe that the Iranian regime is much more predictable than the Trump administration is. I'll say that.
Okay.
When it comes to the Iranian regime, prior to striking the Shia neighborhoods of Beirut, which is a stronghold of Hezbollah, the Iranian regime came out very strong and tried to create this deterrence of a threat to say, if you struck, we will look at this as an attack on the Iranian regime itself, and we're going to respond. I don't think that they were actually serious about it. I think that they were using that as leverage to try to scare Israel and to put pressure on Trump, especially with what's going on with the negotiations with the Lebanese government, with Israel, and with the U.S. But when we actually did strike and we called their bluff, I think the Iranian regime was really, they kind of pigeonholed themselves, because you have to, you know, your listeners need to understand something. When it comes to the Muslim world, this is more cultural. It's not anything religious. This is more cultural. Mm. When it comes to the Muslim world, honor is like the number one factor when making decisions. They could go against all rationale. They could be suicidal, but they will make sure that they will maintain their honor. And I think this is what the attack was. And this is why they shot four ballistic missiles. I wouldn't even be surprised if they went through different channels, told the Trump administration that they're only going to shoot four and that we were prepared for it. We shot them all down. And then right away after the four ballistic missiles were shot, the Iranian regime was very clear and said, listen, that's it. If you retaliate, then we're going to go ahead. So they needed to keep their honor. We did strike back, and
so that was so interesting, because that was my immediate feeling last night when I was watching this, that it felt to me, because it was northern Israel, it wasn't central Israel, that to me said containment. We're going to shoot a few, now it's done. And then Trump comes out and says, okay, you've shot your missiles, now everybody behave. I did get that sense that now it was up to Israel to make the next move. Do you think that next move frustrated Trump?
No, I mean, listen, I think it was all coordinated. Ah. I mean, I don't. Everybody knew their script. Everybody. I mean, listen, we saw this when, I forget when it was. It's so hard to remember which war, which battle. But I remember when the Iranian regime struck the U.S. base in Qatar. And it was all coordinated.
Yes, yes, yes. So that was after Israel. That was after, yeah, I do remember that, but now I can't remember exactly what it was. But it was also very, very contained. The United States moved everybody out of those bases. There was an attack, and then everybody went back to carried on their life as always.
Yeah, so we're dealing with a lot of coordination. We're dealing with a lot of theater. And I think that overall we're dealing with it here, but I don't think that Israel is really taking part in it so much, because again, you know, I really want, you know, your listeners to understand is that we're facing an election, and this is going to be a very contentious, it's going to be a very tight election. And I don't think that Bibi is going to put his trust in anybody else besides himself. I think he realizes that he's the only one that can actually lead Israel. He's the only one that could stand up to world leaders. He's the only one that is willing to take a punch on the chin by Trump and still survive. Mm-hmm. Because I think that he realizes that he does have leverage. And he also knows, I think, what Israel could do and what they can't. So I think that overall right now, Bibi Netanyahu is truly acting in the best interest of what he believes is the best interest of the state of Israel, by pursuing escalation, by pursuing a final end to this war through war.
Mm, mm.
And we'll see what happens, but yeah.
No doubt. This is just the beginning of this particular episode. Gedalia Blum, thank you as always for your insight and for helping us navigate what is a very complex and fast-moving situation.